Hello and welcome to episode 289 of the Grid Talk podcast. And today we are here to preview the 2023 Spanish Grand Prix. My name is Louis Edwards, and joining me today we have Grid Talk co-host and EF1 host Sophia Richmond.
Hi.
We have F1 broadcaster Charlie White.
Hello, everyone.
And from the Grid Strip podcast, we have Philip Matthew.
Hello.
But before we get into the episode, we must thank our sponsor, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines and the latest matchup reports for this year's NBA basketball playoffs. Bet Online is your sports intel headquarters for this season, as we have you covered for all your insider sport wagering needs from basketball, MLB, NHL hockey, golf to UFC and boxing. The fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your home. So get into the action today and head to the website or use your mobile device to join, and be sure to use our promo code BLEAVE, that is BLEAV, to receive your 50% bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Well, Sophia, we will start not with the team that is absolutely running away with the Constructors' Championship, but the new, well, not really new track layout that we have for this year. The improved track layout that we have for this year. The removal of that god-awful final chicane. And now is a long right-hander, beautiful chance for more overtaking at a track that, let's face it, desperately needed it.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Now we're going to like the more traditional circuits. Obviously, we just had Monaco, which, yes, it's traditional, but it's not traditional. That kind of makes a sense of it. But yeah, I'm really excited. I watched the F1 Academy highlights, which were in Barcelona 2 weekends ago as well, and Freca as well, because they raced with was in Barcelona as well. And seeing how much of a difference that's made and how competitive it will go, I'm really excited. And also like how the DRS has been very powerful as well. I think there'll be obviously more battles, especially with a track that's it's traditional, it's slightly boring, but it's a classic. I'm really excited to see what these new teams come out with, and also potentially some of the upgrades as well. It was mentioned in Monaco that there'll be a few upgrades coming to Barcelona as well. So I'm really excited. So I'm hoping it'll be a really good show for it.
Yeah, it is an amazing track. I was lucky enough to go pre-pandemic, and it's a great track to visit, but yeah, watching the racing there has never been too spectacular. So, Charlie, we will move straight on to our dominant gods, basically, in Formula One at the moment, Red Bull. Of course, it didn't particularly work out very well for Sergio Perez, but for Max Verstappen, he's on an absolute roll, and it's hard to see anyone coming close, even if it is Fernando's home race.
No, definitely. And I was kind of thinking this after the Monaco race that just went by, in that that could have been Fernando's chance to finally, you know, get his podium, his first place this year. And we're only a few races in, obviously, but does this Red Bull become the most winningest car in Formula One? At the rate we're going, it's very possible that it will dethrone the McLaren of days of yore on winning percentage. And because of that, you know, the removal of the chicane is just going to play into that straight line Red Bull strength, because they don't have to brake. They don't have to slow down. They can just hammer out of turn 12, make that little bend in 13, come out, slow down a bit for 14, and then shoot off that straightaway. So like, this track is going to be Red Bull 1-2, I imagine, because even if somebody gets behind someone else, that DRS, as Sophia was mentioning, we've discussed it at length before, that DRS on the Red Bull is ridiculous. So they get behind anybody, they're just going to blast past.
Yeah, that Red Bull has just been insanely strong. We've seen countless times, especially in like Miami and Baku, just how just easy it is for that Red Bull just to fly past cars. And with an extended straight and a bit more of a power section, it does seem to be the case. But for Philip, there will be some work to do at Red Bull anyway this weekend. Sergio Perez had an absolutely abysmal weekend in Monaco, and he will be wanting to fight back because it effectively looks like his title hunt may already be over.
Yeah, I mean, if he had a chance to go and win the title this year, going and crashing in practice and then having to start dead last is probably not an ideal scenario. And then, you know, the way the race went, it didn't help either. Being 39 points back at this point, so you're getting close to two races. If Verstappen goes and wins again, it might be. It's my sound, of course. It's having a great time with that. But in terms of Sergio Perez, he has to definitely come back and do something about his circumstance, or else he's going to be basically a domestique for the rest of the year, and he'll turn into Rubens Barrichello and we won't even be through get to July at that point.
Yeah, it's always a little bit sad when you think, you know, we came into this and thought that Sergio Perez had a real chance at the championship, but it does look like it is done and dusted already. You know, he's already 39 points off and we're on race 5-6. It's just such a massive overhaul to gain, especially on someone like Max Verstappen. But Sophia, the closest challenges we might get to Red Bull this weekend has been, well, as it always has been, it's been Aston Martin. And Fernando's, home race, he's won in less competitive cars around this track. Is there a tiny chance? Could we see it?
I mean, I think so. Given the fact that last year he finished P9, starting P20 as well, like, it is potentially possible he will battle. And again, that was in an Alpine as well. So, very different car. Obviously, they did well. Well, one of them did well in Monaco, getting the other podium and everything for that with Esteban Ocon. But I think it definitely is possible. I think, obviously, qualifying will make a difference. But he's proven how good he is as a driver, defending where it needs to be, doing some outrageous overtakes as well that's needed. So it really shows his skill and his experience being a seasoned driver within Formula One. So I definitely think him podium, I think, is definitely on the books. I'm hoping it's not a Red Bull 1-2, because again, that's a repeat of last year. It's consistent-ish. This season, especially Max winning every single race so far, it's getting kind of boring now, which sounds really bad given the fact that we used to say that about Hamilton winning all the time as well, like tit for tat kind of style. But I'm really hoping that Fernando, maybe he might get a win. Imagine the scenes if he was to win, like his first win in ages in his home race. That time will go absolutely ballistic. But yeah, hopefully he'll finish quite high in qualifying and be able to do some good defending, some good overtaking, because he knows our track like the back of his hand pretty much, even with the changes of that new chicane.
Yeah, you'll just think of 2013 and that then spectacular win. But that was in the past now. Charlie, but for his teammate Lance Stroll, again, kind of mimicking Red Bull in the sense that while one teammate was having a great, great race, the other one was having an absolutely atrocious race. And unfortunately, we're starting to see more cracks from Lance Stroll as he's just not able to keep up with his teammate. And you do start to question, how much more has Stroll actually got to give now? Because it just seemed a little bit case of maybe he's too late.
Yeah, I mean, he dropped off and ended up with a DNF in Monaco. And his driving the last little bit has just not been where it was in the first couple races, where he was in the top 10 consistently, I think, for the first three at the very least. And I noticed to harken back to Monaco for this potential race, is that I found that he was kind of bringing in some of the old tomfoolery that he would do last year and trying to be a bit too aggressive where he didn't need to be. There was a couple times in the last race where you couldn't have fit half a car through the gap, and he's trying to shove it you know, wedge it through there. And it's just, he's causing grief. And I understand, and there's a hockey analogy of gripping the stick too tight. You want to try and do well, and so you're going to try too hard. And when you try too hard, then the wheels start to fall off, for all the metaphors. But I hope he can turn it around. I mean, being the Canuck in this chat right now, I always want to see my fellow countrymen do well, but I think it's starting to fall off, even with a decent Aston Martin. I don't want to write him off just yet, but I've moved him out of my fantasy pool, so we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, it's almost like he was driving Bretta when he had fractured wrists, and now he's and now that sort of he's they're all healed now, and he's gone back to his normal self. But it is at the moment, Phil, quite close in the Constructors' Championship, with Stroll not doing so well. Mercedes have really been able to close that gap to Aston Martin to only a point now. They only sit, on 119 to Aston Martin's 120. And with these upgrades, we're finally going to get to see them on an actual track. So how effective do you think those are going to be now that Mercedes actually get to test them on a non-tight, twisty street circuit?
Hopefully they'll be all right. I figure after last week, they weren't completely out to lunch at Monaco compared to years past. I mean, yes, they weren't in Red Bull's territory, but nobody is in the sense of what they're able to do this weekend. Hopefully they're in the mix with Aston. Hopefully they're in the mix with Ferrari. They are making good points. If anything, I'll drop out, but it's been a tough time for them, but I think these new upgrades will actually make things better for them if they're able to execute everything and keep the car, in one piece, get the data, et cetera, et cetera. Lewis seems to be getting a better handle with the car in general this year compared to last year. George is spending more time on the horn than he is actually driving. But, in that sense, they're trying to work for second in constructors. And, third in the drivers' championship is still in play as well. So that's really what their goals are at the moment.
Yeah, it's definitely I think it definitely is the case that Hamilton is getting a bit more to grips with the car. He does have a 19-point lead over Russell going into the weekend. But, Sophia, it's always difficult to go into a weekend and figure out which one's going to be on top, because sometimes you will just have one of the drivers will have an off day. But this consistency that we're seeing from Mercedes, and hopefully the improvement we'll see with these upgrades, does mean that for Aston Martin, they are going to be a real threat.
Yeah, I'm absolutely hoping for it. We already know kind of Red Bull's kind of running away with it, so it's definitely going to be a battle of second, third, and even throwing fourth, throwing Ferrari into this conversation maybe as well, see how they do with some of their upgrades as well. But it's good. I mean, obviously, looking back to last year as well, George was on the podium as well, Lewis was P5. Like, as you say, they are doing consistent, and that's also one of the key things as well with this championship, because it is potentially unpredictable, some of it. You want to make sure that you're securing as many points as possible. Look at Esteban Ocon last year being very consistent, getting points and finishing above Alonso in the standings and everything for it. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting now as well in regards to upgrades, the fact that we've now seen both floors of Red Bull and Mercedes as well. Those cameras and those photographers were doing everybody a nice justice as well for talking about the different floors and the upgrades as well. It's going to be interesting to see after the summer kind of the additional upgrades, or even if they're able to get it in before the summer break, because that's now kind of thrown another spanner into the works about what teams can do to improve and be consistent without kind of failure. So I am expecting quite a decent outcome for Mercedes for this weekend coming in Barcelona. Do I think it's going to be another podium? Probably not, but I think it will be probably top six finishes for that. So we'll see.
Yeah, there's certainly, there does seem to be a good evidence now that they have side pods, that they might actually be a bit more of a force to the rest of the the rest of the pack. And for one, Charlie, that's not going to be good news for Ferrari, who at the moment just can't seem to get it right on a weekend-to-weekend basis. It's just they have not looked anywhere as competitive as they did in Baku, and even then that was still monstrously overshadowed by the pace of the Red Bull. It's just looking like fourth place is kind of their spot, and if they can compete, it's only very briefly and mostly in qualifying.
No, it's true, and they're going to want a better showing than the Grand Prix of last year, because Leclerc, he lost power and got a DNF. I think that was lap 28. Sainz spun off in turn 4 and lost places there, and it just seems to be a continuation of a lot of bad luck. Maybe some of it's luck. I don't think it's so much strategy as it was last year. Just things aren't going Mercedes. Things are going Mercedes' way. They're not going Ferrari's way. And in the there was an interview clip that Leclerc that Charles did, and he pretty much said, "We're not happy with where we are. We've got a lot of work to do recovering performance because right now we're just too far away." So, and he hit the nail on the head with that one. They just need to be better, and crashing into walls and that kind of, you know, I could not match their driving skill, but there are some things like crashing into walls that you could take away and you'd easily improve performance. So by that, you know, I'm kind of floundering here, but they just, for a team like Ferrari, it's just kind of odd to see them just struggling the way they are and trying to get anything to go their way between place penalties, because we've had to replace electrical units twice, and it's just falling apart.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a standard Ferrari thing to this point. It's just that inability to just get it right on a consistent basis, and it's definitely starting to show in the drivers that are getting fed up with it. Carlos Sainz obviously had a bit of a nobody had an absolute rant over the radio with his strategy, and he clearly was very unhappy with some of the decisions that are happening. But Sophia, it is his home race. You know, there is still that opportunity with that home race advantage. They say, well, it gives you a few tenths, and that few tenths might be needed.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, well, you got two home races above Alonso and Sainz. I think that was when last year it was like the joke about Sainz and gravel traps as well, because he was always going into the traps then. But I mean, looking back as well, for what he said in Monaco, he was like, the pace was that he was just frustrated. And I think that's not the best thing to go into Barcelona as well, like to have a kind of low period and low kind of feeling towards the team. I think it's not a good sight to have. And obviously there's been so much issues internally team-wise with strategy calls again, and obviously team kind of dynamics are being changed and everything. I really do hope good, but like right now I'm not expecting much. I'm expecting potentially to have some stupid rookie mistakes that you would see Nicholas Latifi do, or Stroll, or Yuki, like from Sainz, which is something that you don't really want to have, given that he is a good driver. He was consistent a bit last year, and he kind of is this season so far, but it's a combination of so many things. And I think the best thing for him for this weekend is to literally do a really good qualifying, get into Q3, finish in the top kind of six in qualifying, and just put his head down, put the foot down, and just stay there. Like, top six, I think, is probably the best that he can probably do, unfortunately, which is not what you want to hear for your home race.
So one team that's going to be hoping for a repeat of last week, Phil, is Alpine. And to say that they had a terrible start to the season was an understatement, but they have managed to bring it all the way back. They got Ocon on the podium, Gasly very securely in the points, and you know, they've completely bunny hopped McLaren, and now they're going to be looking to absolutely just fly on and maybe even catch Ferrari.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do, Louis. I mean, they, for Ocon, after Rossi goes and tells him that, you know, he probably doesn't deserve a ride or whatever he said. And then he goes out there and gets a podium, qualifies as well as he did. One of his best performances of his career, period. And that team, they've been a step behind for most of the season, but now it's opening up to the European season. If they hit this the right way, after the top four teams, and Ferrari's borderline, it's wide open. So they could just, you know, run away with fifth, as you're saying, and really start working towards next year. The driver lineup is the right lineup at the moment for them. I mean, they do have some talent in F2 and F3, but they're not going to be able to move them up. The greatness of Formula One, all these guys that are really talented are not going to be able to go there. It'll be IndyCar's game or Super Formula. But for Ocon, good for him. Gasly starting to get comfortable. And this track at Barcelona, I think, should suit their car better. Yes, the power deficit isn't ideal, but I think they're in the mix to get both cars in the top 10 in qualifying, give themselves a chance for some decent points.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I think that now is becoming the kind of the bottom line expectation for Alpine. Would definitely be getting both cars into the top 10 in qualifying and then getting these, you know, solid points and making up from where the top teams fail. If Aston Martin have an off day, Ferrari or Mercedes, they're going to be right there to take those points. So sixth place, Sophia, is McLaren, and they're okay, I guess. I mean, Oscar Piastri is definitely starting to get a lot more comfortable in his car. He's really closed that gap to Lando, but I think at the moment they are both probably getting the most out of that car because it's still not great, but it's at least good enough to be getting those sort of lower end, you know, ninth, 10th places.
Yeah, I was not hoping that to be the case for this season for McLaren, but it's just becoming very much a fact now. Yeah, with double points last week, really good, especially for Oscar, because he does need it, given the fact that he's a rookie. I think he was probably a little bit sour at the fact that Alpine was doing so well and he's in McLaren, but yeah, they're just so average this season. And I think, like you said, like if they're getting 10th and 9th, I think that's a good day for them. I think they're very similar to be battling with Haas and Williams and AlphaTauri towards the bottom of the pack, and Alfa Romeo as well. I think it's just, we'll see how it goes. But I'm really hoping that they kind of do well. But the fact that they aren't getting into Q3 properly in qualifying, that's a big issue as well. They just don't have the power. They don't have the speed for it. Yes, they are decent drivers and good drivers, and they can do some good overtaking and such. But if they don't have the car to back it, what's the point, kind of thing? And yeah, we'll see how it goes, but I'm not expecting much. And that's coming from a not so secret McLaren fan as well. So we'll hope, but yeah, if they get some points, I'll be really excited to see that, but it seems very unlikely.
Yeah, as a fellow very not so secret McLaren fan, I do hope it improves, but unfortunately this season is just going to be a drag, and we're going to just see probably both Piastri and Norris sort of grinding out these results and just trying to make sure that they're not swallowed into the sort of this backfield that is starting to occurring. And Charlie, the sort of the top of that backfield is Haas. It's like from these teams that are like seventh downwards, the lack of consistency is really weird. We're seeing this sort of backpack that just can't seem to string two good results together. And for Haas, you know, in Monaco, 17th and a DNF, it's just, it's not good enough. And where they want to be is going to be much higher than that. And they're just constantly just not getting there at the moment.
No, and I mean, you go and look at how Hulkenberg can do incredibly decent qualifying runs, and then will fall off and end up dropping pretty much out of a race. And Magnussen has decent races, but they just can't seem to really crack that top 10 consistently. It's a roller coaster ride. You have a decent race, and then you drop to the bottom, and then you have it. All right, well, they might be back this one, and then it's just. Yeah, it's this backpack that's forming up. And while we thought Haas may have been able to pull something together, be a bit more consistent, kind of like Alfa Romeo, they just haven't been able to kind of make things stick.
Yeah, it is a really odd thing. And just as you mentioned, Charlie, Alfa Romeo, Phil, is just another one of those teams. They can't seem to hook two weekends up together. The drivers, you can tell, and you know, they're qualifying that they're pushing the most, but it's just so inconsistent in their performances that they are just dragging this team out at the moment until they finally get some Audi money into the team and actually make them competitive again.
Well, if that's the case, then they're going to be pretty bad for the next 3 years. They'll be joining Williams in that sense, but. I mean, Bottas, I don't think when he joined the team that he thought that it was they're going to tank this quickly. I also think for Zhou, he's shown flashes. But, you know, when the car isn't there, it's proof. It's proof positive in Formula One. It's always been the case. But when you don't have the car to compete and you're just grinding to get in a Q2, it's an uphill battle, and now that we're going to more open circuits, it's going to be difficult for Sauber to perform. The rumors supposedly that Alfa are going to join with Haas, notwithstanding, starting next year. But, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, because Bottas works very hard. He's a very passionate driver, and he's back in a smaller team. And I think Zhou has some level of potential, but, you know, Carr and the team aren't there right now. A lot of these teams are in that boat. I think when they made these rule changes, they thought that more teams would get back into it. Essentially, what they've done is they've made more teams fall out than the other way around. So good job on the FIA's part in that sense.
Yeah, it hasn't seen the competitive levels that we were promised, but that comes with, you know, team sizes, team, I know it's a budgets, there is a budget cap, but still, like, some teams towards the bottom end don't even meet the budget cap year on year. So it's an odd one, and it's something that hopefully we'll see improvements, especially from the likes of Alfa Romeo, well, Sauber, when they become Audi, hopefully they will become a bit more of a competitive constructor. And Sophia, for AlphaTauri, their inconsistencies tend to be their own fault rather than the true pace of the car. It's either, you know, one of the drivers has a bad race or their car just seems to give up on them. And Yuki, for all of the sort of stick he gets and maybe rightfully so in the first couple of years, we've seen some real, you know, improvement this year, and he was on for points. So there was no doubt he was did an exceptional job in Monaco, but then his brakes failed.
Yeah, I mean, oh my god, his radios as well. It makes my day when I hear those ones. I get fearful when I hear Ferraris, but then I actually enjoy Yuki's ones. It's interesting the fact that given that AlphaTauri is technically like within Red Bull, the difference and the drastic difference that they have, even looking at pace, looking at how they do qualifying, looking at the speed, it is very drastic, the differences between those two teams. I think even Nick also had a close opportunity to get points as well in Monaco. He finished P12. So I think it definitely is possible. It's going to be interesting to see Nick and how he's going to race in Barcelona. He's not raced in Barcelona since his Formula 2 days as well. Like, so obviously he's been out of the game in that kind of sense. So it's going to be where a lot of pressure will go on him, because his seat is up for grabs potentially, whether he likes it or not. He's not performing to the level that people thought he was, especially the fact that Yuki's kind of running with him in regards to how consistent Yuki is in points, which sounds really weird for me to say, given that I'm not so much of a fan of him, or wasn't really much of a fan of him last season. But he's doing well for the team. He's kind of holding it back, holding up the team for it. But I don't know. I mean, I think there might be upgrades in Barcelona, if I'm not corrected, or it might be Silverstone. I'm not entirely sure that they're going to bring out some new upgrades. But yeah, all eyes are going to be on Nick. Hopefully that can kind of, he gets some points, given I think he still has no points if I am still looking at the standing. So yeah, one of the two rookies that don't have any points, even though Yuki Tsunoda only has 2 points, that still makes a difference in the world of Formula One. So we'll see how it goes. But I don't know. I'm very skeptical to see if they could get points or even kind of high finishes. And that's just the name of the game. Not everyone's going to finish in the points. That's why it's so competitive this season. So we'll see. I think they'll be very close to finding 4 points, but it seems unlikely that they will.
Yeah, it definitely is the case. It's AlphaTauri. They're in an odd spot, and they're just, you know, when you're making Yuki absolutely shine, you know that maybe something is not the best in your team. Or it could just genuinely be that Yuki Tsunoda has absolutely stepped up his game this season. We will hopefully find out as the season continues to unfold. But Charlie, we fall all the way to the back now, and Williams. And you think of Williams and you think they're not too bad. Their car's not that bad. But then you realize that they're only on 1 point. And now going into a very competitive European sort of season, there's actually maybe a little bit more hope with Williams and the other teams that we've just spoken about, of them actually getting points, because Albon is doing a great job. Sargeant is slowly getting there. And surely there might be this opportunity for points throughout this sort of congested part of the season.
No, I think you're right. Albon, even in Monaco, the last race, he had some issues by scuffing the wall and all that stuff, but he did have some decent, the Williams did have some decent pace, I thought, for what Monaco is in the speed and kind of how they clumped up. And even before that, they're showing some promise, and maybe it is a bit like a, you know, they have to get the ball rolling, get some steam behind them. And like we just said about AlphaTauri, when Tsunoda is making you you shine, like Albon could easily, you know, take them for what, you know, get ahead of them and get some points. The McLaren is the McLaren. There's been times where, you know, you're again in this Grid Talk podcast, I too new here, but I am a diehard McLaren fan, so it pains me to say, but it's not like when you get ninth and tenth, you're like, all right, let's eke out some points. But there are times when they're at the absolute bottom, and I think Williams might need to get some points luck, and that some of these, they have to get ahead of the Alfa Romeos and the AlphaTauris and the McLarens that can't be as good, for lack of a better term, as 9th and 10th for them to get some points. But I don't think the 1 point is necessarily conducive of their overall performance this year. I think them just falling out a bit, you know, because you only have 20 racers, only 10 are getting points. And if you're right on the cusp, you could be 11th every single race and you're going to have zero. So I think, I don't think it's panic mode yet for Williams. And I do think that they can probably pull some points out of this European stint coming up.
It's kind of like the Giovinazzi problem of, if you finish 11th, you know, you're not doing badly, but it still shows on your championship that you've got 0 points, and it puts you right at the bottom. It's not the best, and it's the sort of the fickle world of Formula One where only the top 10 get points. But it's just the way that it is in Formula One, and you've got to be there to get points. So now it is time to move on to the predictions, and We'll start with pole position. So, Philip, who is going to be your driver on pole?
Verstappen.
Yeah, I think this may be a common thing. Sophia?
Yeah, I'm going to say the same for Verstappen.
That's Verstappen. Charlie?
In a stunning turn of events, I'll make it an even or a complete three. It's a sweep for Verstappen. I think that Red Bull's just got too much speed on the, and there's just so much straightaway there that nobody's got a chance.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with Max Verstappen. So now that we've wrapped that one up, we'll get on to the race results and podium. So Phil Verstappen?
Sure. And then we'll go with Checo having a recovery drive this weekend and finishing second, playing his domestique role, bringing in the Tour de France since we'll be going to France soon. And then in third place, I'll get, it could end up being the whatever, you know, wild card pick or whatever, but I'm going to go and say Lewis Hamilton gets a third place finish this weekend.
Yeah, definitely possible with the upgrade. Sophia, Verstappen?
Yeah, I think Verstappen. I think, though, P2 will be Alonso. And then I'm going very similar to Phil, but I'm saying a different Mercedes driver. I say George will do P3 like he did last year.
Okay. And Charlie, Verstappen?
Yeah. Verstappen for first, Alonso second, and I agree with Phil. I think Hamilton and the new Mercedes upgrade will eke out for third place.
Okay. I'm also going to go with Verstappen. It's so boring, but I'm going to go with my Verper a lot that we're going to, a meta that we're going to see this season. I think it's just got to the point where F1 is really boring again. So let's spice things up again and actually make some interesting predictions. And Phil, bold prediction for this weekend.
Bold prediction. There's a lot of options. I'm going to say Oscar Piastri qualifies in the top in eighth and he finishes there.
Okay. Sophia?
Oh, there's a few that could choose. I think both Haas is in the points. Make up for how bad it was in Monaco.
Yeah, that's quite a turnaround for Haas. Charlie?
I may not be so bold, but I'm going to say that both Mercedes on the podium, they push out the Aston Martin and the other Red Bull.
New floor, new lease of life for Mercedes. I am going to go with, I'm going to say there will be an Alfa Romeo and Haas in Q3. And then there'll be a further AlphaTauri in the points. Like, so all three teams gain points. You got to go hard or go home with these predictions. And just, you know, I'm sure a respectable betting company would give me quite a high odd on that happening. So that is all from us today. This show is pre-recorded, but we will be live streaming both our qualifying review and race review for the Spanish Grand Prix this weekend on our YouTube channel. So make sure to go check it out. It's on F1 Chronicle Grid Talk. And the race, the reviews will go out an hour after each session is finished. So if you want to check those out, make sure to subscribe and also make sure to hit the notification button because then you get told when we go live and it's great to join in. It's also available on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search for the F1 Grid Talk podcast. We have a back catalog of almost 300 shows. So if you're stuck with something to listen to between now and the Grand Prix, we have so many episodes. Just give them a listen. And they're not all just like this. We actually have some interviews. We have our Fireside. Of course, we have our Formula Talk series. as well. So there's plenty for you to listen to. Also, please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get better mics, lights, and recording equipment for all of our hosts. And just, it's just really appreciated. So now it's time for my guest to get a plug in. So Phil, we'll start with you, who are from the Grid Strip podcast. So where can they find more from you?
Yeah, they can find the Grid Strip podcast basically anywhere you get podcasts. The easy way to talk about our show is, as long as it goes fast, we talk about it on the Grip Strip podcast. So we'll definitely be recapping everything that took place this past weekend. Supposedly a NASCAR race is about to start, but the way the weather is, I don't know if that's really going to happen. But if it does, we'll talk about that as well later this evening, our time here in New Jersey. You can find me at PGMatthew28 on Twitter. You can find my co-host Josh Huffine at JP Huffine on Twitter, and our Twitter page is Gripstrip at Gripstrip Pod, at Gripstrip Podcast on YouTube, where we have the video feeds. And we'll be out there with episode 171, I believe. My numbers may be a little bit off, but 170, 171, somewhere around there for the recap of the greatest day in motorsports, and a very busy weekend coming up. So thanks, Louis, for hosting. Great job and putting up with all my technical issues. Great to get on with you, Charlie, for first time. And Sophie, as always, great work. So great to be a part of the Grid Talk crew.
Thanks, Phil. So, Sophia, of course, you are a co-host here on the Grid Talk podcast, but also you're with EF1. So where can they find more from you?
Yeah, so I work with Everything F1. I primarily look at F2 and F3, but I do dabble occasionally in podcasting and F1 articles. You can find us on social media at Join EF1. We have a website. Again, where all our articles are posted, and that's at everythingf1.com. They have a weekly podcast, two weekly podcasts when it's race weekends, to do a race review and then a preview and interview ones that go on live on Sunday and Tuesday. As mentioned, I co-host with Tom Downey, another Grid Talk, F1 Chronicle Grid Talk co-host, where we discuss primarily F2 and F3, but we do talk about F1 Academy, maybe IndyCar when the season is a little bit quieter, Freca, and a few other kind of other disciplines in motorsport. And you can find it on the backlog channels. We don't go live on YouTube, we pre-record. So our episode will come out in the next couple of days as well to preview F2 and F3 in Barcelona.
Amazing. And Charlie, finally, where can our listeners find more from you?
I'm not as involved with podcasting or any writing or anything like that for motorsport. I just like watching fast cars go fast. But I am on Twitter at Charles on Channel 10. I gave actually the wrong thing when I was here last time. It was my old one, but this is the new one, the correct one. And it's Charles on Channel 10. If you like or are interested in broadcasting or F1 or just some sports, I kind of talk about all of it, not necessarily in that order, but mainly a heavy broadcasting focus, because that's what I do, is broadcast live sports. So it's kind of the main focus.
Amazing. And if you want to see from me and my board fence line opinions on Formula One, just come on watch the Grid Talk podcast. So we'll be back with plenty more F1 content, of course, this weekend, with both a qualifying review and race review for the Spanish Grand Prix. But until then, thank you very much for listening to the Grid Talk podcast, presented by Bet Online. Goodbye.